Hello.
Hello.
Someday you're going to have to hear the hold music while I wait for you to accept my invite because it's like real terrible, weird elevator music.
That's amazing. I was in a predicament. I couldn't freaking find my AirPods and I was like frantically looking for them because I thought I knew exactly where they were and apparently they're not. Still haven't found them. So then I settled for my iPhone headphones, like the wired ones. And yeah, and then I walked all the way out to my truck, forgot the fucking keys, had to go back inside and get the keys. I was like, oh my God.
So if you couldn't tell by what Emma said, she's recording in her truck right now.
Yes, I'm recording in my truck because my mother is visiting the house in Florida right now and she goes to sleep early and I don't want to disturb her. And so I'm recording in the truck.
I mean, there are worse things. We recorded, or Robin and I recorded our first episode on the road. So we were driving.
I remember that.
Oh, again, you could be driving, but you're not. So there is that.
Right, right. We're gonna make it work. And then next week, we're going to try a Zoom pod so that we can actually or something.
Yeah, I know we said we were going to do that this episode, but it's not really the best lighting with the dome light in the truck for Emma. So.
Yeah, no, that would be terrible.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, it could like partially not see you for the most part, so you could like just not make yourself presentable and you'd be fine.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, that would be terrible. Also, I wouldn't be in the house where the Wi-Fi is, so I'm sure the internet would probably do something stupid.
True.
Yeah.
True. I get it. So, okay, to start this off, we're going to give those that weren't on our live, we're going to do a little recap of what happened right quick. And Emma's going to review the four movies that we watched while she was back.
Nice.
Sorry if I'm sniffly. I just got back from working out and it was fucking horrible.
Nope.
It was a terrible one. Jenna literally killed us. It's fine.
Good.
And then I have a fun little case that kind of ties in at least to one of the movies that we watched. At least. So, but my shit from the pit is a combination of two things this week.
Okay.
Number one, I was trying to describe to one of the kickboxing chicks last week about Katy Perry in her Vegas show or whatever. She literally was like breast pumping on stage. Yeah. So I said, I said Katy Perry was pumping on stage and whatnot. And she thought I said humping. So then I went into more detail about, you know, because I thought she thought I said pumping. So I was like, I get it if you're out at a restaurant or whatnot. So in her mind, she thinks I'm talking about humping at a restaurant when I was literally talking about pumping.
Oh, my God.
I mean, so there was a slight
a misunderstanding.
Just a little bit.
That's amazing.
Also,
I would have believed both. So,
I mean,
in this day and age, you never know.
Correct. Also, my second thing is cucumber diamondback.
What?
What do you think of when you hear that? Cucumber diamondback.
I don't know why, but I think of like a baseball diamond and then like a. Like a cobra eating a cucumber. I don't know.
I thought of a stripper stage name, but okay.
Whoa.
that would be cucumber diamondback. Like I.
That would be an innuendo.
Is that how you say that? Yeah.
Innuendo. Yeah.
Something like that. You know. That's how I took it. Also, how about tomato burpee big boy?
Yeah, that was the winner right there.
So those were actual product descriptions from an East Coast location for not Dynagro stuff. I tell you that much. I have no idea what company Seed was naming their tomatoes and their cucumbers this, but they had fun with it.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody got really bored at work.
I mean, or they ran out of names of new thing. I don't know. Who knows?
Oh, man. Or they showed up to work high one day and it just stuck.
That could be a thing, too. Also a thing. So that's all I have for shit from the pit. Do you have any shit from the pit? New stuff? Something to touch on real quick?
You know, I do. I do.
Ooh, okay. Let me get my bacon I've got in my bag in front of me.
Yo. The bag of bacon?
I cook 8 pounds of bacon and I have like 2 slices with my macros allotted out. It's fine. Peyton's right here. It's okay. Bacon is life.
I was picturing a giant bag of bacon just sitting in front of you.
No, it's not a giant bag.
Oh, shoot. I have tons of stuff that happened to me because for the past week and a half, I have been working every single day. I've been working my butt off. And
for COVID.
Yes, I want to die.
It's aggressive.
It has been so stressful, but weird stuff happens every day. We get crazy. I mean, they're rare, but we do get like those crazy Karens that just like do not know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And they're just pissed off and they just want a reason to complain. And so this lady calls me one night and she asked me the most confusing question because I'm still relatively new to this job. I've only been there for a month. And our gift card system is very confusing. Like our gift cards and our packages for the gift cards are very confusing. And then we also have like monthly packages. And so the phrasing and it's all very confusing right now. Yeah. And this lady calls the spa and she asked a question. It just did not make sense. Nothing that she was saying was making sense. I was like, ma'am. You have to, long story short, because I don't want to confuse the audience. Yeah. Long story short, I figured out she has to have the physical gift cards in order to see how many she's used. I kept saying, like, ma'am, you need to have your physical gift cards to see how many of the add-ons to your spa package that you used.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept saying, you guys are a business. You should be able to keep track of that. Like, how do you guys even do your taxes? Do you even know how to do taxes? Oh my God. Maybe I should just come in and cancel my membership. Blah, blah, blah. Like, she's like raging, like in full rage mode. And she kept saying over and over again, she was like, I know that I used one gift card for my daughter this last month. And she kept saying that over and over and over and over again. I was like, this lady has to have her gift cards if she already used one of them.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was like, okay, I'm gonna put you on a brief hold so you can talk to my manager, because there was just no calming down this lady at this point.
Mm-hmm.
My manager gets on the phone with her and she said the exact same thing that I did. She said, ma'am, you have to have the physical gift cards. And then she was like, wait a minute, can I put you on a brief hold? And the lady was like, yeah. She goes behind the fucking counter, dude. All of her gift cards were still behind the counter the entire time.
Oh my God.
I was like, I just got screamed at by a Karen for 10 minutes over nothing.
Yeah, they're people are great.
It was terrible. I was like, I hate society so much right now.
Working in any type of retail is ridiculous.
Oh man, I can't do customer service, man. I can't. It makes me lose faith in humanity so quick.
I have learned to do customer service very well. I can chime in on that voice. As soon as that phone's hung up, though, it's like, you motherfucker, I'm gonna fuck. Yeah.
Exactly. You're like, oh my God, I'm about to kill somebody. Oh my gosh, there's so many things happened to me this last week, and I just forgot all of them because my brain is not working, and I feel like I'm dying.
Well, I mean, I get it. Side note on the sad side news.
Oh God.
I know. You're going to not really be happy with this news. Mom and Tom had to put Ty down today.
No!
Yeah. So the little pupper, the first pupper, he's 16 years old. He got put down today.
Ty.
Yeah.
Why would you tell me this on a podcast?
What's your actual reaction? I don't know.
Oh my gosh, no.
Yeah,
That makes me
so
sad.
they are a mess right now, to say the least.
I bet that was their kid,
It was
their
Tom treated
child.
that dog better than any of his kids.
Oh my gosh, that's so sad. Poor boy. Well, he's got lots of friends up in doggy heaven. Gosh darn
Okay,
it.
moving on from sad news, sorry.
And I also eventually, I remember I wanted to tell you about that dream that I had. Should I do that now or later?
I don't know. How long is it going to take?
Maybe like 5 minutes tops.
Right. Well, you can use that as part of your other shit from the pit. We're only 10 minutes into this podcast. It's fine.
So do it right now.
Go for it.
Dude, it was nuts. It was honestly, oh my God, it was crazy. Okay, so I had the most vivid dream a few nights ago.
Okay.
And it was probably like 5 nights ago at this point, but oh man. I was in this neighborhood and I was with a bunch of my old friends, like friends that I don't really talk to every day anymore, but I was close to when I was younger. I was with a bunch of my friends and we were in this neighborhood and we were going house to house and all of these houses were haunted, like really haunted. And so we would go house to house and just kind of investigate and briefly like run through them and see if anything would happen. And we got to this final house and it was so much darker than the rest of the houses and it felt much different than the rest of the houses. We go upstairs and there's this doll sitting in a chair. And it was all very lighthearted. Like, we weren't scared or anything. Like, it was all very lighthearted. Like, we were just having some fun, like, investigating. Like, none of us were scared. But this doll sitting in this freaking, I can't remember if it was in a chair or on the ground, but, dude, okay, so I kept taking pictures of the doll, right? And every time I would take a picture of the doll, which I had flash on, the flash would get brighter and brighter and brighter. And then the last photo that I took of the doll turned its head towards me. It gave me this creepy ass smile from ear to ear. And it attacked me. And the camera flash, like everything just went white at that point. Everything went white. And after that, dude, when I say, I think that that was the closest feeling to the feeling that you get when you die. Like, I'm not kidding. I literally felt like I died because and I wasn't afraid. The thing was, it was like this wave of like complete peace washed over me. It literally felt like every worry I've ever had in my entire life just like left my body. Like, I have never felt peace like that before. And then I was stuck in this like purgatory, and basically like it looked like the same house, and all of my friends were still in it, but I was on the other side, and I was seeing everything, but I was on the other side, and so everything looked a lot like whiter and brighter. And dude, I swear, like I really feel like that is what ghosts see when they cross over to the other side, and it was really sad because I remember. Kind of like in the Annabelle movies where like Annabelle like writes a little note. I wrote a note to my friends and I said, I will always remember you guys. And I like gave them the note from the other side and then I just like I left. It was the craziest thing I've ever experienced in my life, dude. And I feel like I died in another life or something because that felt so real.
You'll have to like look into past life regression and
Ooh.
see if they've got anybody down there to go to. But purgatory, as a general rule of thumb, isn't supposed to be somewhere that's peaceful, I don't think.
No, yeah, but that was like the only word that I could describe it. It was another version of the same world. Like I was seeing everything, but I was like stuck in this
Like
other
just
version.
like literally just on the other side of the veil, basically.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I just used the word purgatory. But yeah, I was on the other side of the veil. It was,
gotcha.
Dude, it felt so real. And I truly felt like this is what ghosts see. This is definitely what ghosts see when they cross the other side. Like, it was crazy. So I don't know. Yeah, I definitely want to like go see a psychic or something to see what they have to say about it.
Side note, do you think it's residual from the Ouija board when we ask the question of what it's like, or if the other side's what we think it's like? Do you think it's residual, like, dream talk from one of the three that we contacted?
Maybe. Wow. Oh. Maybe.
I was tossing a Blue Appetite palm stone between my hands that I dropped. I fidget when I'm talking with, like...
Right.
I do. So I have to, like, be fidgeting with something. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah.
I can't just sit still. Stay still. Anyway. That is a crazy-ass dream.
Dude, it was just crazy because it didn't feel like a dream. It literally felt like I died. It was just crazy. I have never felt that feeling of peace, just true peace before. It was mind-blowing. And I was, like, I was messed up all day the next day. I was, like, I cannot believe I felt that, you know? Like, it was just crazy.
It is super weird.
I just had to tell you about it.
Yeah. I appreciate the dream talk. I like it. Yeah. All right. So, we're gonna crack into it. Get into it. I can't say crack into it. Another podcast says that.
Oh.
We'll get it started. Are we going to start talking about our Ouija board thing real quick? And then you're doing the reviews? Okay. So, yeah.
We should.
If you all don't know, all six of you, whoever is listening at this point in time, because only six have listened to the last one. So, first of all, get more people to fucking listen to us, all right? Come on.
I posted on Snapchat.
I know. I saw
that. Don't kill me.
Not you. I was talking to our listeners.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, listeners, do it. Do it.
Yeah. If each of you get one person to listen to us and then they like someone like us and they tell someone, like, it's, you know, six exactly. degrees of Kevin Bacon. Come on now.
Domino effect. Like,
so, yeah. Fine. We're funny. We're random. We're dumb anyway. So, when Emma was back after we got done with recording the previous episode that I'm hoping you all have listened to, we did do a live Facebook of a Ouija board session. How long do you think it was? How long did it end up saying?
I think it was like an hour and 30 minutes.
It was quite long.
It was something like that.
The first one that I did at the cemetery, for one, it was too fucking cold. And it was only like 19, 20 minutes. That was as long as we could like sit outside in the cold. So
yeah.
This was, my leg kept going to sleep.
yeah, by the end of it, you were dying. You were like,
oh my God. I am too fat to sit Indian style on the fucking floor. I am. Because it cuts off, you know, that femoral artery, and then shit just starts going tingly and numb, and it's like, I can't fucking do it.
Well, we need a table next time. We'll set up a little table.
I need to get a chair of some sort for that room. I don't know. I've been looking into things, and then, like, maybe, or I need to get two chairs, and I want to move the table that's in the corner into the center so I can use it as a tarot table. Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, so we did the Ouija board. I would say that it didn't really take that long to really tap into anything. I think, for one, it's because we were just doing some magic stuff in there.
Yes.
Some spell things in there. And two, that's where I do all of my stuff. So, like, that energy in that space, to me, it's easier to kind of click into things, I think.
Yep. And I don't know if you remember this, but I actually opened the board early.
Yeah, that's true, because you were taking pictures of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was taking pictures of it. And then we had the Ouija board sitting out while we were doing the podcast recording. And right after, remember, I did the three circles and I opened it. And you were like, well, why'd you open it? And I was like, I was just giving it energy.
Yeah, you were opening it before.
Yeah.
One person, like, you were playing alone, which you're never supposed to play alone, but.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, someday I might do it by myself. I don't know.
I would definitely do it by myself. I'd be terrified, but I'd do it.
Side note, since then, I have been seeing more shit out of the corner of my eye.
Me too! No way!
Okay, yeah, I've been seeing shit out of the corner of my eye all the time now.
Dude, I saw a freaking shadow the other day.
Mm-hmm.
a shadow. I saw a shadow walk past. It wasn't a full shadow. Okay, so there was a curtain, right? There was a, I was in a dark room and there was like a curtain, and the hallway outside was lighted. And so like underneath the curtain, you could see if somebody would walk by or not. Like you could see the shadow of their feet. I saw clear as frickin' day. I would not make this up. I saw something walk past, clear as day. And I zoomed out of that room. Nobody was in the entire building.
Boy, you should have gotten your phone out.
Bruh. I freaked out.
That would have made a great TikTok, because, you know, we've got our TikTok up and running now, people.
Yes, we do. Go follow our TikTok. Our first video is really funny. I mean, I think it's really funny because I totally forgot that Peyton scared me that bad.
It is a good video. But no, I'm continuously seeing things standing right next to me.
That's terrifying. No.
Like, I was standing there doing the dishes yesterday, and I literally kept seeing something off to my right. Now, I don't know if it's if it's one of them, if I'm seeing Ragnar, which is my spirit buffalo, you know, if I'm seeing him next to me. I don't know what it is, but I continuously see something. And Peyton, by the way, has been walking around more so and sticking her head in that room a lot more and then walking
Dude.
By.
This is the beginning of a horror movie. What did we do?
I don't know. I didn't sage after that, did I? I think I saged before, but I didn't sage after. So that's probably why.
You saged me before.
Yes.
Bruh.
Whoops.
That's terrifying. And yeah, I mean, you're seeing stuff. I had that dream where I literally died and was on the other side. I saw a shadow. Peyton's seeing shit. I mean, that can't be a coincidence.
I mean, it can't be, but, you know, there's stuff here. I don't feel like it's anything bad, though.
No, because, I don't feel like it's anything bad either.
Yeah, because the people, we did have three people come through the board.
Yes.
And we had, my sister was on, Emma's mom was on. Oh my god, the neighbor dogs are barking like crazy at something. Get out of here. I hate this. So my sister, your mom, someone from our Instagram jumped on our Instagram live, but then jumped over to Facebook, and I don't know where did it say she, I can't remember where she was from. Somewhere.
Yeah, I can't remember who
this person was. It's just a fan.
Yeah.
Then Jordan from kickboxing class, she was on.
Yes.
And then Robin and Amanda hopped on for a quick second, and then they left, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm pretty, didn't Whitney's mom jump on, too?
Oh, yeah, Tracy was there for a bit.
Yeah, Tracy, right. Yeah.
Yep. So, the first person that actually came through the board, it really doesn't surprise me that this person came through, because Emma was here, so. But it was her father.
Yes, it was my dad, and I wasn't surprised either, because that is not the first time that my dad has reached me through a Ouija board. He's done it before, and the first time I didn't talk to him very much. I literally asked him like three questions, and I figured out very quickly it was him, and I got like very emotionally overwhelmed, and I just couldn't talk to him. So able to talk to him more, and it's just crazy because everything that happened, like not only just with him but with all three people, they were saying things that neither of us would have known. And then after the fact, after like they would answer the questions, like Mom and Mandy would chime in on the Facebook Live and be like, no, like that's the truth. And if they're saying that it's the truth, then that's how you know it's real, because they're not into all this stuff like we are.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I kind of tried to get Mandy into it. I had her do... Oh my god, this freaking neighbors with this freaking cars. like, I have the boys do a Yule thing with me. Like, I have the boys help me out with stuff. And she helped me make those spell drawers for you. And I had her do it.
Oh, she did?
Yep, I had her helping with those. And then I had her do, I think, a new moon ritual thing one time. But yeah. Oh, cool. So yeah, some of the questions that we had asked to kind of confirm if these people were these people or not, for Uncle Chris, it was the one that really, really sold it was what Mandy used to hand to him when she was younger to open. Because, and I didn't know this because obviously I wasn't around when I was younger, and I don't remember her ever telling me this, but I don't know. God damn it, sorry. Hopefully that's
wrapping your rocks.
I set it down. But she used to hand him oranges to open when she was younger because she couldn't open them. But we didn't know that, so we asked the question, nothing happened for a little bit, and then all of a sudden the board went over to the letter O. Mm-hmm. And so we looked at the phone, we're waiting for Manny to confirm. She's like, it was oranges, and we're like, oh, fuck, okay.
Yeah.
The other question was, what were they going to name you if you were a boy?
Right. Well, so the first, the very, very first confirmation that we got that it was dad was, all we knew was it was male. We asked if it was good and if you were a male or female, and it said male. Mm-hmm. And then we asked how old it was, and it said 47. And neither of us knew that dad died at 47, but mom commented, and she was like, yeah, that's dad. He was 47. And we were like, holy shit. Like, neither of us knew that.
Like, I completely forgot. I'm terrible with remembering people's ages. I only remember Mandy because she's 7 years older than me, you because you're 10 years younger than me, exactly, and Spencer because he's 5 years.
Exactly.
I don't even remember Lachlan and Ewan half the time.
Right. Yeah, ages are hard for me. I can't remember them either. So mom confirmed that automatically, and I was like, oh, shit. And then we asked what the name was, and it went to Kay. I was like, it's definitely dad. And then he did the oranges question, and then I asked the board this question because I knew that Jenny wouldn't know it. And I said, I said, if I was a boy, what would you and mom have named me? Because mom has told me it before. But then the board was like dad was really confused for a second. He was like, I didn't know if he like didn't remember or anything. Mm-hmm. And then, like we asked it, like, what would you have named me or something like that? And mm-hmm. it went to the letter M, and I was like, the letter M, what? And then mom commented and she said Morgan. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, apparently they had picked out Morgan before whatever name it was that you were thinking that your mom had told you.
Yeah, mom had told me that if I was a boy, they were going to name me Cole. And so that's what I was looking for. But then when it went to the M, I was like, that's not right. That's not right. It would be Cole. And mom said the name Morgan. And she said dad really liked that name for a girl or a boy. I was like, what the hell? Like, if that's not evidence, I don't know what to tell you.
There was a lot of crying from Emma with talking to her dad. And
there, like, yeah.
I don't know how to act when people cry around me. So all I do, and Mandy does the same thing, because we're just like, we don't know what to fucking do with people that are that emotional.
Oh, I'm the same way. I never get emotional.
I just started fucking giggling, and I was like, I don't know what to do with you here.
No, dude, I'm the same way. The thing is, I never, ever, ever cry, but it was just so, like, heavy, like, talking to my dad. And the one that made me cry was, if you do you have any messages for mom, and he said the word love, and I started crying at that, because that was just so, like, powerful. And I just was thinking about my mom, and I started crying. I don't cry, and I'm the same way as you. Like, when I'm around people that cry, I'm like, I don't know what to fucking tell you. I'm sorry. Like,
I hope I'm out of here. Okay, bye.
Yeah. So and then we asked mom, do you have any questions for dad? And mom commented, she said, ask him what signs he's been sending me. And
Yeah,
we asked dad, what signs have you been sending mom? And he said bird. And mom said that earlier, it was either the day before or that earlier that day, she was sitting on the beach in Florida, and a bird literally landed next to her and stared at her for 15 minutes. And she had a photo of it, photo evidence. It was crazy. It was nuts.
It was. The second person that came through was my Uncle Dick, that just passed away 6 months ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It was hot out. It might have been more than 6 months ago. Not really sure, because, I mean, like, we were close when I was little, but we really weren't that close getting older. He was kind of very introverted, didn't really like to go out places, and we hadn't seen him in a long time, and he'd been doing bad with his health and everything like that. But the one question that stuck out to me, which was really one of the only ones that we asked him, or I asked, was, is where he's at as we've pictured it, or as we thought it was, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said no. But then I asked if it was a bad thing, and he said no, that it wasn't a bad thing. So at least he's somewhere good. And we had asked why he was here, or why he was kind of around, because it was kind of crazy that he, if it was just because he was one of the most recent ones to pass, that's why he was kind of hanging around and lingering. Mm-hmm. But he said the word, and he said watch, didn't he?
Yeah, he said watch.
Yeah. So he was just kind of watching over. I think that was him. It wasn't the other one, right?
Yeah, it was him. That was him.
But we didn't really ask him that much else, I don't think.
It was crazy because before we started talking to, well, when we were first talking to the second spirit that was in the room, we mm-hmm. asked if it was a girl or boy, and it said boy, and then
just standard questions, because we asked like yeah. how many are in here, and they said three, and like, they said okay. three.
So we were
figure out who these people are.
And I remember it was crazy because we asked it, are you related to us? And it said no. And then we asked it, are you related to Jenny? And it said yes. And that's where it got crazy. And then we were like, what's your name? And it said D. And then as it was sliding over to I and C, Mandy commented on the Facebook Live. She said, Uncle Dick.
Uh-huh.
It was crazy.
It was very crazy.
Yeah.
I'm eating another piece of bacon, by the way. It's sitting in front of me. Anyway, the third person. Oh, look, who's here? Peyton. She heard the bacon. The third person was actually the spirit that contacted us when we were in the cemetery. I didn't think that he followed me. It's a male. He's also 40. He's 46. And we thought his name was West. But I think we figured out when we went back the next day, because we were trying to look for a... Are you going to throw up? No, okay. She's looking at me real weird. She usually comes in here and sits down and stares at me if she's going to throw up. So yeah, sorry if you all of a sudden hear a dog throwing up. Anyway, we were looking for a headstone. We went live again looking for a headstone that had the name West on it, like a last name, anything. And we ended up figuring out, because Spencer was sitting in the car, and we were... what was he playing?
He was blaring, I Put a Spell on You.
Yeah, the voodoo version of it, Put a Spell on You. Jesus Christ. Because he does not like all this woo-woo stuff.
He hates it.
But I was telling Emma on the live that to the west of the cemetery is where there's a mass grave, like beyond the fencing in someone's farmland. And she goes, I bet you that's what he was saying. He wasn't saying his name is West. He was trying to tell us that he was west of the cemetery.
Well, so it was even crazier than that, though, because you were pointing, you were just pointing to the cemetery, and you were like, or to the unmarked area, and you were like, mm-hmm. yeah, there's a bunch of unmarked graves back there. Like, there's a mass grave back there. Mm-hmm. And I was the one that was like, wait, is that west?
Mm-hmm.
Is that direction west? And you, like, looked at me, and you were like, oh, shit.
Fuck, I was like,
maybe that's what he was saying. He's west of the gravesite.
Yep.
It's crazy. And okay, so essentially we figured out that he is Jenny's guardian angel. He said that he hasn't been with her for a long time. He just recently started like following her and being with her.
And I don't really agree with this next portion, by the way.
I know you don't. So we asked, or I asked him, do you have any advice for Jenny, or what do you want to tell Jenny?
Like a message, yeah.
Yeah, what is your message to Jenny? And I had a heart attack because I thought it said D-I-E. Because it literally went D-I and then it went to the V briefly and then it went to E, and I had a heart attack. I was like, oh hell no, this just got very real.
Yeah, we thought we were gonna have to take like a quick turn to close this shit out and be like, oh fuck no,
dude. I freaked out. If you watch the live, you can hear me screaming. I was like, there wasn't a V, you didn't say V. And then I asked it again. I was like, what's your message to Jenny? And he's like, made it clear that time it was D-I-V-E. And yeah. Jenny said, well, in tarot, sometimes diving means like taking a risk. And I asked him to clarify, do you want Jenny to take a risk? And it said yes. And then I said, what do you want her to take a risk in? Ugh. And he said love.
So dumb.
It's the truth.
Where am I going to take a dive and find love around here?
And then I said, I asked him, why do you want Jenny to take a chance on love? And he spelled the word happy. And I was like, oh my God. And then one of the people on live said, that's so wholesome. I was like, yeah, that is wholesome. And Ginny's over here puking.
Dumb. Oh my God. I just need to love Peyton. That's all I need. I just need your love.
Yeah, that was pretty much what happened. That was pretty much the summary of it. It was crazy. And it was interesting too, because after we closed out the board and everything and we properly said goodbye and all that, like, we both walked out of the room and we were both like just drained. Like, we felt like all of that energy that was being transferred, like, from our bodies into the board, like, from the other side, like, we just felt so energetically drained.
Yeah, the next day, like, we both said that we felt like super tired and like almost like the backs of our heads hurt.
Yes. Okay, so I woke up and I had a rash on the back of my neck. I had a really bad rash on the back of my neck, and that's never happened to me before. And I asked Jenny, I was like, is that like some sort of like energy portal of some sort? Or maybe like that's where like these spirits were like touching me. Like, I don't know, but it was crazy.
Usually the back of your neck, like the hairs stand on the back of your neck. Like, if you're sensing something, like, you know, if you get goosebumps or whatnot, it's like the back of your neck. Right. Where you sense that energy and stuff like that. So
it's like a sensory thing. Yeah, it was, it was crazy. Both of us were exhausted after that. We were like, that was crazy. Like, literally for 30 minutes or an hour, we were just sitting in the room and we were like, that was crazy.
Ridiculous. So yeah, that's what we've got for the Ouija board thing. Go and watch it once Emma gets it up on YouTube too.
I will. The issue is with screen recording. Oh, I can just, okay, never mind. I just worked that out in my head. Never mind.
All right.
The one reason I didn't screen record it was because I was like, what if I get notifications and it like ruins the screen recording? And then I thought, oh wait, that's what do not disturb is for, huh?
That I have, which you have that on right now.
Correct? I do.
Okay.
Yes. But I made one TikTok. I'm going to be making more. I just wanted to make kind of like a funny one to start with, to like attract people to our TikTok. So go follow our TikTok. It's
did you turn on this
pod?
Yeah. Did you turn on the stitches and the duets?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I'll have to go back in and find it. Anyway. All right. So now that that's over, done with, you know, half an hour into the podcast, it's fine.
It was important stuff. That was crazy. It was a crazy experience. So
for those of you that don't want to sit and watch it, and like half the time my hands were barely or not even on the planchette, by the way.
Yeah.
So I wasn't moving it.
Yeah. Literally the first like 15 to 20 minutes of us using that from when the movement started was just us screaming because we were like, holy shit, it's actually moving. And we know that neither of us are doing it. And so we were literally just screaming, freaking out. Watch the TikTok and you'll know what I mean. Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Yes. Now it's all on you.
Oh, God. Okay. So, okay. I'm going to talk about the four movies that we watched when I was back.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jenny and I, our tradition ever since I was very, very, very little, our tradition every time I come home to visit is we have one or two nights where we just binge watch horror movies together. That's always been our tradition and it always will be. I swear to God, we are going to be 80 and 90 years old still doing this.
Word.
And so we watched four movies. The first one, I wanted to die. It was Candyman.
Which, oh, the original Candyman was so good.
Yeah. Oh wait, I forgot that I talked about Candyman in the last podcast.
You did.
Yeah, I totally forgot that. Okay, so
we don't really have to talk about it, but we did watch it and we did not care for it.
It was terrible. I hated it. Yeah. I hated every second of it. Yeah.
It was like a sequel, so yeah. No.
It was terrible. So the second movie that we watched Spiral after that. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so we watched Spiral. It is a part of the Saw franchise. My main critique is Chris Rock did not fit that role.
No, sure didn't, because he's just, yes. I mean, he tried to put his humor into it, but, like, being the sulky, serious cop dude is just not him.
It didn't work. It really didn't work. No. And I think that was the ultimate demise of the film. He belongs in comedy. He does comedy great. He cannot do serious. I could not take him seriously 1 second of that entire movie. I just could not. In regards to the movie, it was average. It was okay. It was nothing special.
It was very predictable because I totally pegged it, like, what, 15 minutes in?
Oh, yeah. You knew the ending automatically.
That's the person.
And I was, like, on the fence about it because I was I always try to give movies the benefit of the doubt. And I always say, nah, it can't be that obvious. It can't be that obvious. And then when it is that obvious, I'm like, God damn it. Like, it was average.
Yeah, there are ways they could have done it a little bit better. But I did like Samuel L. Jackson in it. What very short, brief period he was in it.
He was very good. Some of the deaths were interesting. The last death was pretty cool. It was pretty unique.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final seconds of the film.
Oh my God.
I wanted to die. That ruined the entire movie for me. Was the final seconds of the film. It's just terrible.
Spoiler alert, there's gonna be another one.
Yeah, definitely. It was awful.
Yeah, and I like that actor that played the killer. I like that guy.
Yeah,
he's good. I liked him in general, but
it was average. It was nothing great. Yeah, I really think that they should have taken more time with that and did some recasting. And I felt it was very rushed. They could have made it good because what was the Jigsaw? Jigsaw was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I was really impressed with Jigsaw. I watched it a few times in the movie theater and I was really impressed with it. And so I had high hopes for Spiral and it did not impress.
Pretty much like all of the other Saw franchise movies other than this one.
Exactly. Yes. Definitely. And then
the best movie of all, basically.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No, this was not the best.
Oh, wait. Are you talking, which one are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm talking about Malignant.
Oh, okay. No, I thought you were talking about
No, because we watched Malignant before the other one.
Okay. Did we watch it last?
No. Because we ended on a high note, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we ended on a high note, so we watched Malignant.
Which is the movie I am having my cases tie into.
Yes.
So, spoiler alert, if you don't want to know the plot of it, because I'll end up probably going into it and giving away more anyway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Don't listen to my part, but do listen to my part. Or at least slide that bar all the way to the side, to the end. You don't have to listen to me. Just give me the listen.
Just give us the listen.
Right.
Anyway. I'm going to spoil it as well because you're going to spoil it anyways.
Oh my God, it was so bad.
I'm very conflicted about this movie. I'm very conflicted because in certain ways it was genius.
I mean, it did make you go, what the fuck, a lot.
Yes, it really fucked with your head. I love movies. Literally, Jenny can back me up on this. Literally, the entire movie, I was going, what the fuck? Like, what is this? Like, I could not stop saying that because I was that shocked. And it takes a lot to get me to that point these days.
Yeah.
Okay, so Malignant, it's about this woman, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts out showcasing her abusive relationship with her boyfriend, pretty much.
And she's pregnant,
yes. And the boyfriend pushes her very, very hard and slams her, like, throws her against a wall, basically, and she hits the back of her head really hard into the wall. And, oh, bro. I don't even remember the fucking plot because it's so confusing.
Well, the initial plot, you're thinking the whole time that there is this.
I guess
I don't know exactly how much detail you're going into it, so I don't want to, like, talk about what you're going to talk about, you know?
No, I'm not going into detail about the plot because I'm still trying to figure it out, bro.
Well, the initial plot line was like what you see from the trailer, what you see from kind of the beginning is that it plays off that she can see these crimes that start happening as they're happening. Is what it plays off as, is that she's basically like it kind of plays like it's she's like a clairvoyant of some sort, like a medium or something. Like she connects to the killer and can see these killings happening as they're going on, but the killer can't see her. But the way that they did it, I do kind of like the initial one, because was that in the dryer or was that in the bed,
dude? I can't remember.
But I like the one where she was like trying to put like there was this shot because it's the director that Emma really likes, James Wan or whatever his name is.
Yes, James Wan worked on it.
And she's putting clothes in the dryer, and you know it's one of those dryers that's a front loading and it has like the see through center to it, and she has that open and she looks to her side, and all of a sudden she sees like this scene start to play out and this person pops in, and all of a sudden she has to back away, and it's like the way that the atmosphere around her melts away, and then she's all of a sudden immersed in the scene itself is crazy.
Yes.
I like that portion.
Yes.
So I can see why Stephen King liked this movie.
Yes. Stephen King. Okay. So I'm going to like go into like the technicalities of the film. Mm-hmm. So Stephen King said that this movie was genius. He literally gave it so much praise, so much love. And James Wan worked on it, which he's an incredible director. I love him. And the first thing that I noticed about the film, like within 5 minutes, because I'm a very analytic person when it comes to like shot types and all that.
Yeah, throughout the entire thing, she's like, what is this shot? Like, what is this?
Literally, I felt so annoying because I could not stop saying that. I was like, what is this shot, bro?
Throughout the whole movie, she was saying
the entire movie. Like, literally, what I concluded at the end of the film is James Wan purposely broke every single law of film there is. Every single shot, he broke the basis of what film is, and he said, how can I possibly make every shot feel as uncomfortable unconventional as possible?
Definitely.
Like, it literally like hurt my head watching it. I asked Jenny halfway through the film, I was like, did you give me LSD? Because I feel like I'm going crazy right now.
Yeah, it kind of takes your mind for an entirely like a crazy ass whirlwind. You're questioning your thought process throughout the entire film, basically.
Yes. It made me It fucked with my head so much because I spend so much time analyzing shots, and I was like, every single shot is not right. Yeah. What the fuck is this? And it was just blowing my mind.
It's so bad that it's actually good is what it is in a sense.
Yeah. And I honestly, okay. So the main actress was also the girl from Annabelle, the main character from Annabelle. And I really, really like her. She did a wonderful job.
Yeah. The blonde mom.
Yeah, the blonde mom from Annabelle. Dude, like, I love and hate the movie because, you know what it is? I think that I need to go back and rewatch it.
Yeah.
Because now I can kind of, I can enjoy it more now that I'm not so brain fucked.
Which essentially, she was brain fucked the entire time too.
Yeah. Dude, it is just crazy. And I understand why Stephen King called it genius, and I know what James Wan was trying to do is he was something that broke every single wall and boundary of film ever, and he did that so successfully, and it's awesome. It is amazing, and I'm going to rewatch it and look at it in a different way because I missed basically 100% of the plot because I was so brain fucked. basically in the end, and what Jenny is gonna be speaking about is it was the girl the entire time carrying out these murders,
which is this is such the fucking weirdest way too,
but yeah, it's because she has this alternate personality demon thing, but it's on the other side of her body.
It's basically essentially what they call a parasitic twin. It's like a deformity that happens when the embryos, like, they were supposed to be twins, but it doesn't fully disconnect from each other. And, like, yeah, it's in this, like, you kind of get a glimpse of it at the beginning of the movie, and we're like, what in the fuck is going on? Like, why is this? Yeah. It was, like, back in the 80s or something like that, and, like, you see, like, this old hospital, and it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What is this thing that's, like, screeching in the background? And then, yeah.
Yes.
The way that they present the twin finally at the end, I was like, what? I can't even, like, bring words to it because I was like, what the fuck is happening? What is this? And then it was so out of this world, asinine, like, ridiculously weird that I was just like,
yes.
What?
The final fight scene where this parasitic twin is going around fucking everything up, and the girl's face is on the other side just flopping around.
Oh,
I'm like, what is
happening? Yeah, because, like, the face comes out of her skull, because essentially it's when the boyfriend, this parasitic twin, had been dormant for however long, because they removed most of the body, but they couldn't remove the brain portion that was still connected to hers, so they literally just, like, extended her skull around it and encased it, which quieted it down a little bit. And when the boyfriend shoved her into the wall, it broke her skull, which then awakened this twin. So, like, she's like, the way she's it fits the horror, because the way she's walking is she's walking backwards, because it's like
so weird. But she does it at such a high speed.
It's so weird.
It's the weirdest movie.
It's not really for people that aren't passionate about horror as we are.
It's not for the lighthearted.
But if you want, like, a slight mind fuck, I mean, go for it.
A slight?
That's what I'm just saying. We've lessened
your brain blow up.
We've lessened their mind fuck by giving away what's happening. So
just prepare for chaos. For utter chaos. I remember
it literally is.
It really is. I could not shut up this entire film. I was just like, what is going on? And then, like, the last 30 minutes of the film, I stood up. I was pacing. I could not sit still. I was like, I am so uncomfortable right now. Yeah. Like, I don't know what's happening. Please help me.
It really makes you uncomfortable. And for a film to really make you uncomfortable is, you know,
it's rare.
Something nowadays. It's kind of crazy.
It's rare. And I think that's another reason why Stephen King gives it so much praise, is because it's this new, it was this new way of, like, truly making people uncomfortable and horrified. It was horrific. Like,
yeah,
I love it.
And that shot that's in the trailer, it's such an interesting shot, which is also what you're talking about. What the fuck is the shot?
Yes.
Literally, it's like it's a dollhouse, and you're literally up above, suspended in air, watching her run from what she thinks is in the house with her, room to room. And it's just, I don't know. I don't think any other, like, old school horror movies have done that.
I've never seen that before in my entire life.
It was interesting.
It is. Oh my God. It's crazy.
It
is so bad, it's good. I'm gonna watch it again, because I think the first time I watched it, I was so consumed by trying to figure out the shot types that I couldn't get the plot, because I was so focused on the point of views and, like, all of the different angles being used that I couldn't really get the plot, you know?
Oh yeah.
So I'm gonna watch it again.
All right.
And so the last movie we watched.
Drum roll, final movie.
The final movie that it left us on a better note, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, it was really, really good. We watched the sequel to Don't Breathe.
Yeah.
It was really good. I was really impressed with it. The deaths were absolutely brutal.
Oh yeah. They did not hold back on any of the gore with that.
Oh man, they were, like, beautiful. Like, they were that sounds really messed up. Cinematically, they were really beautiful. But I really loved, they brought back the old man. So for those of you who have seen the first one, they brought back the old man. And basically the premise of the film is, now he has this little girl with him. Mm-hmm. that wasn't with him in the first movie. And honestly, when I saw the trailer for Don't Breathe 2 and I saw that there was a little girl, I honestly thought that maybe he had kidnapped, spoiler alert for the first movie, I thought that he had kidnapped another girl somehow and had gotten her pregnant and this was her baby.
Yeah, I almost thought it was going to be the original girl, even though she technically got away with her sister or whatever and was, like, leaving the country and saw that the old guy lived.
Right.
I thought it was going to end up being her, like, he was going to, like, revenge get her, but no, that wasn't the case.
Right, yeah. I thought for sure that the little girl was going to be connected to the first movie, but she was not. But I really, really loved where they took the plot. I'm not going to give this one away because it's really good. I really enjoyed it. I thought that it was cinematically beautiful. The shots were beautiful. The aesthetics were beautiful. The actors were amazing.
I didn't see the end coming.
I didn't either. I didn't see the entire movie coming. Like, there are so many, like, twists and turns. It was very, very good. I was very impressed, and I loved the ending. There's going to be a sequel.
Yeah, of course.
There's going to be a third.
Trilogy,
yes. That's the word. There's going to be a third one, and I'm really, really, really excited where they're going to take it. So,
yeah.
That's all I'm going to say, because I don't want to give anything away. It's just really good.
All right. Any fun facts or anything?
I do not have any fun facts today because I'm slacking and I'm a loser.
Okay. All right. Am I too far away from the phone? Can you hear me all right?
No, I can hear.
Okay. Hopefully. I leaned back on the couch, but I don't want to move the phone because if I move the phone the last time I did that, it stopped the podcast. So I'm just leaving this. So yeah, okay, well, Emma's done. Thank you for that. I only have 4 pages of notes, so I promise this won't be that long. Or it
should. We ready.
It's not like my 21 page note thing from before, so like I had said before, I was going to keep along with the tune and Malignant, and I was going to chat a little bit about Parasitic Twins. So it's not really like horror in a sense, but it's just cases that kind of like coincide to it and to the whole premise of if there was something else inside you type thing in a
right
way.
That's so creepy too.
So it's not really like scary, but so a parasitic twin is essentially an identical twin, not a fraternal. It's always an identical because those are usually from the same embryo.
Okay, yeah.
That stopped developing during gestation, but it's still physically attached to the fully developed twin.
Mm-hmm.
So now I know that the movie basically showed that this is like a teratoma of a twin, and it had a functioning brain and was trying to take over the chick. But it's very rare that this has ever really happened to have a completely functioning brain or heart. Usually these teratomas are just like extra limbs, things like that.
Right. They don't, they can't think. They're not intelligent.
Usually not. But yeah. So, but not saying it's never happened. It's just, it's very, very rare.
Right.
So back in the day, these parasitic twins or these people that would have it usually and most often would work in what we called sideshows or circuses at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so one really famous one that worked in a circus was, or a sideshow was Betty Lou Williams, who was born with 2 legs and an arm attached to her torso, and she actually worked for Ripley's. Weird side note, she also had an underdeveloped head inside of her.
Oh. Ew.
That's why they end up calling them teratomas, because they're usually an undeveloped portion of a human inside you.
Ew.
Yeah. So there was a case of a young Egyptian girl who actually had a more developed head that grew out of her own head. So, like, legit, this thing could blink and smile.
So, bruh!
Yeah! How freaking
no!
She did undergo an operation to have this removed, which was successful at the time, but she ended up dying a year later of a brain infection.
Aww.
Yeah. So, maybe not really technically successful, so there was a 14-year-old girl from the Philippines that lived her whole life with a parasitic twin emerging from her chest. Her twin consisted of an underdeveloped torso, arms, and hands. Grossly enough, her twin would have a nasty liquid coming out of it, much like human waste a lot of the time. Where it was coming out of exactly, the article didn't say, and I really, really don't want to know.
Yeah, I think I'm a pass on that one.
Yeah. One case that was more known as a bizarre deformity is of Edward Mordrake, which this sounded really familiar to me for some reason.
That sounds really familiar.
Doesn't it?
And yes.
Now, there aren't any actual photos of him. The one that I found online was actually a wax figure that was done as a representation of what most were told that he looked like. Aww. So the story always begins the same way. Edward Mordrake is said to have been an heir to one of the noblest families in England. He was considered a bright and charming man, a scholar, musician, and a young man in possession of profound grace. He was said to be quite handsome when you viewed him from the front, that is. Yet on the back of his head, there was a second face, or a twisted and evil face, like the one from Malignant.
Yo, wait a minute. Didn't they portray, that's the word I was looking for. Didn't they portray this dude in American Horror Story Freak Show?
Yeah, maybe that's why it sounds familiar.
I think that's why it sounds familiar, because I'm picturing the actor that played him now, and that sounds so familiar.
Like he's like two people? Or
yeah.
Like he's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type thing?
Yes, they totally did that in American Horror Story Freak Show. Yeah.
That's why it sounds familiar.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense now.
So often it was said that it possessed its own intelligence and was malignant in its own intentions.
Oh, shit.
Oh!
Maybe that's where they got the name from.
It could be. Quite possibly. I mean, if we're talking about... This is like one of the third or fourth cases that comes up when you're Googling like parasitic type twins.
Yeah.
Side note, there really isn't a whole lot on parasitic twins. So that was kind of... I had to go kind of like... deep in the Googles of this.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine so, because they're so rare, right?
Yes. Where in the fuck was that? Where's the malignant word? I can't find it. Okay, so it's been said that the eyes would follow spectators, and its lips would gibber relentlessly and silently, so nothing would be coming out, but the mouth would be moving. So according to legend, it would also smile and sneer as Edward wept over his condition.
Dude, hell no.
So while no voice was ever really audible, Edward swore that he often would be kept awake by the hateful whispers of his evil twin.
Bruh.
It's also said that Edward begged many doctors to remove this demon head from his skull, and it has also been said that Edward lived completely isolated from everywhere and from everyone. He thought the best way to carry on his life was to stay away from everyone. The isolation even included his own family members. So, like everyone. The stories always concluded with young Edward committing suicide at the age of 23. The method of his death also differs with a bunch of different stories. Sometimes it's poison that does him in. In other versions, it's a bullet between the eyes of his devil twin.
Oh.
That puts him out of his misery. In both versions, Edward leaves behind a letter requesting that the demon face be destroyed before burial, lest it continues its dreadful whisperings in my grave. Yeah, so that in its own is really fucking weird.
That's terrifying.
A little bit. But yeah, this one, I'll put a picture of the wax figure, but this one more so coincides with what the chick from Malignant looked like with the thing on the back of her too, when it was protruding out of her skull. That's the other part that got me, is like the way it appeared. It just like,
I don't even remember it because I blacked out.
Oh my god, that's the part that was so fucking stupidly ridiculous. I was like, what in the fuck is going on? Sorry about all the cussing, but the ones that fuck your mind up, it just, you can't, you have
no, there's no other word. Like, dude, I literally blacked out that entire movie. Like, I have to rewatch it because I don't remember it.
So I'm mad there wasn't more to be found on the Edward Mordrake story. So the next little story I have is a young woman, look at yourself. Gross. Named, and bear with me on this. I don't know if I'm saying this name correctly or not. Yamini Karanam, I think. She had gone in for an MRI, and the scan came back with a growth that was kind of in her brain. So starting in the fall when this happened, something seemed to kind of change in her. She had more fatigue. It kind of like consumed her. She found herself sleeping like 15 hours or more a day. And she was still exhausted. A few weeks later, she started she started having trouble understanding what she was reading. So it's like she would read the words, but they wouldn't stick. They wouldn't comprehend. Oh. And by the time she reached the second paragraph of like any research paper, she literally forgot the second one or the first one. So then after 2 months of tests, her doctors advised waiting a few months to see what the growth would do over time, because they saw the growth. But meanwhile, Karanam felt worse and worse, like nothing was getting any better. So scans taken at the end of January around this time revealed an even larger lesion. And the symptoms that she reported did not match anything that the doctors thought it could be. They debated operating, but were reluctant, given how deeply it was kind of lodged in her brain. The tumor was in there. So removing it would require a highly invasive procedure, and the doctors just weren't sure it was really even worth the risk. So the consensus was, maybe we should wait another 6 months and see what happens. Oh, fucking hate that. Like, in that time, someone could die.
Yeah.
Anyways, she didn't want to wait, so she consulted another expert, a Dr. Hirar Shah. Okay, this one. Shainayan, I think. Director of the Skull-Based Institute in Los Angeles. She faxed over all her results, and they ended up having like a little Skype meeting, and the doctor told her that, I have your reports in my hand. I'm looking at them. You need surgery. Like, there was no hesitation with this doctor. She was also kind of hesitant about it at first, just because of how quickly he was like, yes, but all these other doctors were like, fuck no, you gotta wait.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's like, who do you trust? But I mean, it's brain surgery. I would be very hesitant about anything with my fucking brain.
Right.
But she gave in. Something was growing in her brain, all right. But it was not what anyone expected. He was an oddity of medical science that has been with her since before birth. It was a rare growth of bone and hair and teeth that she would come to call her evil twin sister. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Dude.
But the doctor feared it was malignant. Again.
Hey.
And the best treatment would be to basically remove it as soon as possible. So even though it was technically considered benign, but he didn't know if it was or not, it would continue to grow and eventually probably kill her because of the pressure that it was exerting on her brain, which is what was causing all of this fatigue and everything else.
It's like your risk of death is high either way.
Yeah. So she was 26 years old at this time. She was dying slowly. The surgeons found the mass. And I mean, hair, teeth. Ugh.
Blech.
They immediately knew that it was like a teratoma tumor responsible for this, for the months of confusion that stemmed from the bizarre medical condition. A teratoma can be malignant. I like how I played on this so many times in my notes. but it did end up being that hers was more benign than it was malignant. And like, she literally, all she could say was like, oh my God, this thing was there like from the beginning. This thing has been living and breathing in me for the last 26 years. Yeah.
That's
so now I'm going to just kind of go into, I think it's just like, yeah, since that case is kind of done, I'm going into like teratomas, like a little bit of medical history, if you will, or whatever, you know.
I dig it.
Whatever you want to fucking call it, I don't know. So teratomas, especially those in the brain, are exceptionally rare, accounting for about 0.5 to 2% of all brain tumors, taking their name from the Greek word for monstrous tumors, basically. Teratomas are characterized by misplaced tissue, such as obviously bone, hair, teeth, even eyes, in parts of the body in which they should not be. Like, I don't know, your fucking brain. So over time, teratomas grow and can impinge on any other body part. Only once before in this doctor's 3 decades of brain surgery, over the course of thousands of operations on brain tumors, had this doctor seen a teratoma like this. The entire surgery itself took 5 hours to do.
Jeez.
It's a long-ass fucking surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So now the other possible thing that could make someone believe they had an evil twin or had a twin or have someone talking to them is something called womb twin survivor. So this stems from fetal absorption by one of the twins before they're actually born. So there have been studies done on individuals that can prove there were, and they were in fact a twin in the womb, and it's not all puppies and rainbows. I'm sorry about it. Womb twin survivors often seem to spend the majority of their life reenacting the life and death of their lost twin. Like, what nothing appears to be more important than that itself. This is often mistaken as, like, borderline personality disorder, since these individuals were considered to be on the border between neurosis and schizophrenia. So, hence the name, borderline. Learning something new today, didn't you?
I didn't read that
quite through. I try to put jokes in and then I don't get... I stop myself before I read my joke. We're going to continue on. So, the womb twin survivor can feel alone, even among friends, and may find being physically alone very, very hard. Yet, paradoxically, they deliberately keep themselves apart from others. They don't realize they're doing it, like feeling alienated and different. But that's like the reasoning why is because something's missing. So they avoid intimate relationships and may even like reenact the loss of their twin by sabotaging any good relationships. So they are left friendless and alone. To the survivor, this is an uncomfortable but psychological important form of like self-isolation to them. So it's fast becoming clear that for a womb twin survivor, the primary attachment like was to the twin, but the twin died before birth. So now they're like something fucked up in their brain and they just can't function.
Right.
It creates kind of like an interesting complexity to attachments in born life, which is weird that they use that term born life, you know?
Yeah.
As the survivor seeks a substitution in like all of their intimate relationships and everything else thereafter, and yet each time they just continue the cycle of sabotage and like they're doing it unconsciously. It's fucking crazy. Your brain is a fucking weird thing.
It's so weird.
So this unstable style of making and breaking interpersonal relationships is like reflected in this following statement that I kind of found in like one of the studies of womb twin survivors. There was a shit ton, and I could bore you with a whole bunch more, but which I put that at the end, but it was like a questionnaire. So unstable relationships, or it was, they did a questionnaire and then they gave these results. Always feel in some way unsatisfied, but don't know why. 56% of the individuals they tested said that this was the case.
100%. Oh yeah. That's me.
All my life I've felt restless and unsettled. 55% of the individuals said yes to this. 48.7% said that they were easily bored, which that's any American nowadays.
Yeah.
I don't remember when this study was actually done. 47.8% say they get very intense and involved at the start of a relationship, but then sabotage it somehow.
Me! Dude!
You said it, not me.
Dude! This quiz is me. You're calling me out, man.
Ask your mom if you're a womb twin survivor.
I fucking might be. Shit.
And then the last one on this unstable relationship portion, 40% saw that they easily get into a love-hate relationship with individuals they want to get close to. So it's like, it's easy, but then they're like, okay, bye. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I know this is all just weird, boring gibberish, but again, there wasn't a whole lot.
No, it's interesting.
Holistic type studies and like, you know, Reiki people and things like that, doing studies on womb twin survivors and shit like that. But then, like, I kept finding, like, these weird medical transcripts, and it's like, I can't use these as notes. Like, I...
Right.
My... So, many adult survivors report feeling restless, always changing their jobs, moving around the world, never staying anywhere for very long. The search continues for someone to make things right again and fill the empty space that's inside of them. So, sometimes some short-term respite is found, such as in a satisfying job or a loving relationship. But very soon, it is time to move on. And this is essentially what their search for their lost twin is, who was lost and can never be found again.
I am a womb twin survivor. I have come to the conclusion.
But anyway, which I tried to look up the inspiration for the movie, which maybe you can do this next time around to keep tying it in, or sometime. Remember the one where she was a twin, the twin died in the womb, she has like two colored, her one eye has a discoloration to it after the kid hits her in the head with a mirror, and it's because it's her twin that died at birth is trying to like take over her body.
What?
Yeah, what in the hell was the name of the movie?
I don't remember that.
She was a really, really pretty chick, I can't remember. And like she has to go to a, it essentially ends up being like a Dybbuk of type of sorts, and like they go back to Hitler when he was trying to do this testing with twins, and her grandmother was a twin that she didn't know, and Hitler had actually killed the twin, and yeah, it was the whole thing.
This
was
what in the world?
It was a movie, because I remember this movie very, very well, because I hated the part where she goes like a few days later after this kid at the beginning of the movie hits her in the head with this little mirror, because the superstition is the babies aren't supposed to look at themselves in the mirror until after the age of one, because something can take them over. I don't know.
It's very weird.
So the one kid was kind of sort of taken over by the evil twin that was actually a Dybbuk and smashed her in the head to try and get, yeah. So she goes to the eye doctor, you see the iris that's like partially from when she ate her twin in the womb. But what I'm getting at is the thing that I remember from this movie has nothing to do with that. It's when she goes in the morning and goes to crack a fucking egg into the frying pan that's hot, and something is still alive within the fucking egg and is screeching as she's frying it in the pan, and she like freaks out and throws it in the sink.
Oh, hell
like,
no.
Like, I mean, it's like blood and yeah. So also another, I know we're basically done, but this is another thing tying into cracking a fucking egg. I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you in your entire life, but you will not eat eggs for like an entire year if this ever happens to you.
Oh God.
Oh my God. It was the
don't ruin eggs for me.
It was the most disgusting thing ever. Really? I'm trying to tell a story.
Shake it.
It just stuck. Anyways. It was the most disgusting thing that I've ever had happen to me. I did the exact same thing. I was trying to crack an egg into a fucking pan. I don't remember how long ago it was after this movie, but it was a rotten egg. The only one out of the entire bunch. And I cracked this thing open. The smell was horrific. It was black. Oh my God. I'm not even kidding. I was like, instantly disgusting. Oh my God. Yeah, it was bad. So yeah,
that's nasty.
Yeah, so very nasty. But I know that you've seen this movie. You've had to have seen the movie, because I saw the movie, but now I don't fucking remember what it's called.
I'll try to look for the name of it. I don't remember it at all.
I'll try and Google it after this too, because I think it had the one hot guy from like late 2000s movies. I can't remember.
All right, we'll do some digging.
Yeah, sorry that we've gone off on weird random tangents, and then this is over an hour long, but I don't give a shit.
We don't give a fuck.
But I do appreciate your listening. You're listening. I was trying to be nice, and then Emma comes in with the hard D.
That's me.
Okay, so anywho. Thank you for coming along on our little journey here.
Please.
God, Peyton, how did you get so much hair when you itch? Hopefully this next time around, we'll actually be able to do a Zoom video. We'll try. Yes. We will continue to upload things on our TikTok. I will continue to post things on our Instagram, Facebook, and whatnot. Go to the Facebook page if you want to see the live, because it's saved there in our videos.
Yep.
So you can view it. But Emma's going to still try and get it up on our YouTube channel that we will end up starting here soon-ish. So, yeah.
Yes, lots of fun stuff.
Yes, that's all I've got for you today. So try not to have a shitastic day.
And, bye.
Bye.